The Mara's Telling, Words in Motion, by Eli Clare, published by Homopractice Press, read by Eli Clare, copyright 2007, part 5, which includes Blackberries, The Stories Mama Tells, Psych Ward in 3 Voices, Bedrock, Camped at 12 Mile Beach, Lake Superior, and Interlude 4, Reach. Blackberries. Tongues and hands stained, seeds caught like sweet sand between our teeth. My brother and I used to have barrier fights. Purple, black explosions covered our bodies, not bruises, not this time. Grandpa's drooped, jeweled, sun-soaked berries nearly bursting even before we picked them. And now, years later, in the desert, watching bombers fly practice runs, I imagine grenades exploding like blackberries. Written 1992, about childhood, 1977. The Stories Mama Tells. 1. Elizabeth, my preemie baby, you rode 36 hours of labor, quickly learned to scream. The same stories over and over, glass box called incubator called home. I know where mama will pause. They didn't let me touch you for a month, where she will smile. Sarah, you were born into a January storm, snow gripping your father's beard, beginning to cover the car. I can picture it, cave of steel lit by the only street lamp in town. He handed you to me, umbilical cord still connected. Gesture big with her hands. Nick, you arrived, birth sack still unbroken. A landscape submerged in fog. I imagine the doctor breaking the gray, amorphous film, unveiling my brother to the morning light. From her, I learned the words, birth accident, ovarian cyst, surgery, oxygen deprivation, induced labor, premature birth, birth accident. 2. I have one story I never meant to tell, a patchwork of medical records. I was 24 and poor when the doctor found the cyst tiny, tiny, balanced against my ovary. He said nothing. 3 years later, 4 weeks pregnant, seed of a child hanging there too, he told me to drink milk. I never saw him again. Simple. No milk money, no doctor money, no insurance. Followed my new husband to his new job halfway across the country. Never guessed I was growing twins. Took up housekeeping in the backwoods, tried to forget Detroit. 6 months pregnant, I went to another doctor. He found twins, one with a heart, its steady thump, and the other a swelling bag. He too said nothing, except, I'll see you in 3 weeks. The twins gripped each other, wrestled in the dark cave of my insides. The doctor said, Jane, I have bad news. Cut me open, plucked death away, bloomed big as a melon, threw it in the dumpster. You were the other twin born a week later. not much bigger. 3. Elizabeth, those words, disabled, handicapped, crippled, deformed, I hated them all. Try to pretend you didn't have cerebral palsy, prayed for miracle cure, refused to teach you the wood lore of bitterness. 4. Over coffee, beer, bread, and lentil soup, stories get told. Listen, Mama. Stories. I signed a release as I went under, woke up not knowing they had tied my tubes. Nick and I spent a childhood catching frogs, climbing trees, but now we're enclosed again in grass and fog. Stories. That last course of electric truck, whole decades just disappeared. There's no more remembering. Round-bellied little girl, Sarah would dance in the kitchen all afternoon to Swan Lake. Stories. The doctor put me on 3 years of diets, and still the tumor weighed 47 pounds when they finally removed it. Sarah used to place her body between me and the kids throwing rocks. Stories. They keep adding a do not resuscitate order to my chart, even though I've been clear. If ever I stop breathing, use all your technology. 5. You were never the only one. But still I wonder if the doctors had been honest, if my hands didn't shake, if I hadn't grown up to the word cripple. Written 1992, about birth 1963. Psych ward in 3 voices. Note, this is one of the poems about child sexual abuse. When I wake, flailing out of nightmare, please feed me applesauce. The voices. Never high sweet notes of joy, shrink, call them auditory hallucinations. Feed me applesauce covered with cream, thick cinnamon brown chunks of Gravenstein apple. I watch them fill your head, cajole, convince, command. The voices rumble. Let me remember Mama's kitchen, that cinnamon mud simmering as she cored and cut apples. The voices roar, it's time. I tuck oven-worn towels around your feet. Mama sang to herself as she ladled the sauce into clear ball jars. I sit with you as the IV drips, hurricane in my head. In the winter, she filled my bowl with warm applesauce. The voices rage, it's time, time to go. Tie one history to the next, dream to torture. Rumble, roar, ravish. Still humming, she would cover the sauce with cold, Jersey cream. Glimpse, gravity gone. Memory to starvation, I grasp the knots. Written 1992 and 2007, about hospitalization, 1992. Bedrock. Note, this is one of the pieces about ritual abuse. Night after night, I finger each thin cable of story. Mama tells, firstborn preemie, you lived too long in my glass box on October of 63. Each thin cable of story, I twine them together, the details to which no one will dance. 100 sleeping pillows, blue as eggshell, fifth of whiskey, I let the bottles float away, lay down to wait. Words fold one on top of another, page after page. Journal, November 15th, 1986. Lincoln Memorial, tonight we have finished 3,700 miles. I can already feel the reality of walking LA to Vegas, Denver to Omaha, Chicago to Cleveland, Harrisburg to Harlem, Philly to DC, begin to slip. Our last rally, we circle the reflecting pool. In the dark, our bodies become simple outlines, each a candle. The small flames waver on the black surface. I don't want to stop. I sleep with you under my pillow, walk with you under my tongue. You have broken my teeth, bruised my gums, my small gray stone. For years, I struggled to find words, lines, stanzas to tell you about torture. A language you might believe, metaphor wrapping around hair, elision breaking the already broken, meter catching the pure, dizzy whirl, a language I might be able to utter. Today, Adrian said, don't write it pretty. River, knee, hip, shoulder deep, I fell away, a sack of stones. Journal, April 11, 1986. Nevada test site. News of a test just detonated came over the shortwave an hour ago. I've been sitting at the barbed wire fence ever since, watching the desert, torn upon mountains to my back, creosote in full bloom. I keep expecting to feel shockwaves. Tom sits upwind of me, smoking his pipe. I can't stop crying. All of a sudden, he's gone, rolled under the fence to walk a few illegal steps. I almost join him. Mama tells, you would scoot yourself into a corner, jam your head against the glass, and scream. I woke up, not dead, still waiting, walked home so drunk, I'll never remember. Late afternoon, water spreaders rest in the shadows, legs dimpling the surface. Journal, April 17th, 1986, east of Vegas. I dream of a woman who shaves her head bald, carves ghost-like petroglyphs into her skull. She and I are lovers. We walk to ground zero, wait for the bombs to be tested under our feet, camp in their craters. I wake up to desert sun filling my tent. Mama tells, one day as I stood at the door watching you, the ward nurse came by, said, I always know which ones will live. Tension and grip, the living balanced against the dead. Border hopping, the north cascades, back leg reaches, front leg bends, body weight follows. Balance lives in the space between muscle and earth. I know you have read the stories, recognized the names, Pinochet, P.W. Botha, Somoza, and the places Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib. But the list doesn't stop there. You need to add my grandfather, the gravedigger. He knew how to use electrodes, tape them to the soles of my feet, palms of my hands, small of my back. My grandmother led me to and from that basement room. My father learned from them, measured the blood, held me down. In an earlier draft, I cut the lines about torture, couldn't find the right mix of hallucination and horror. Body comes unmoored, floating free. They wrap me in warm towels, pour charcoal down my stomach, ask questions too many to count. Mama tells, I couldn't take my eyes off you, head covered with peach fuzz. The ward nurse said, your baby, she'll live, she's a fighter. Journal, July 6, 1986, Strategic Air Command, Nebraska. I watched counter demonstrators burn a Soviet flag. Flames gnaw through the red background, up and over the yellow sickle. They call us commie dykes. We laugh and shrug. I live on the road, cobbled and gray. Never know which way it will lead. Graveyard of memory or river at dusk. Not balance, but war. Electrodes taped in place, and then, which verbs might suffice? Surge, radiate, scream, pulse, jolt, as if the eternity that coursed down my spine were water, light, sound, heartbeat, earthquake, riverbed of pain. Tell me, is this too pretty? First day on the psych ward, I washed my hair, tugging at the knots, vomit flecked, eggshell blue, I am the child. Mama tells, a week later, the doctor pulled the tubes from your nose, unplugged the IV, let me hold you. Journal, October 17th, 1986. Allentown, Pennsylvania. I walked the last 3 miles into camp with a man dressed off work, suit jacket flung over one shoulder, black leather shoes clicking the pavement. He asks the usual questions about the walk. Then we talk about disarmament, the Reagan-Gorbachev summit, the Soviet moratorium on nuclear testing, the budget for SDI. We disagree, choose not to argue, don't talk about Hiroshima, Chernobyl, the bikini atolls, the downwinders. The child, they turn to glass and stone, the shrinks feed me antipsychotics. Will you call me crazy? Turn away, talk about false memory syndrome. Act surprised when it's not only dictators, military juntas, and Pentagon goons who have learned the routines of torture, but also priests, Klansmen, neo-Nazis, and the guys down the street. Listen, two men of us have waited, hands and feet bound, fed the fire, listened to the screams, huddled against the bars. You can choose to ignore and deny it. I envy that choice. Or you can come walk the distance. Each thin cable, and soon I will have a rope, strong and thick, to anchor here in the bedrock, stretch high across the river, beginning of a bridge. Written 1996 and 2007, dealing with ritual abuse 1992 to 2002. Camped at 12 Mile Beach, Lake Superior. Nick, each morning I wake, expecting to smell salt, seaweed, or cold, cold ocean. Brother, a blackberry bramble and skipping stones, I wait for the roar of surf, seals glinting black. You would understand this lake is not familiar enough, even as the water numbs my feet. When the watermelon come ripe and cicadas drum the fields, brother of my homesickness, early half-ripe apples and late afternoon swims, you were 11 when I left, a boy grown tall. You lived with our father, river and rock, learned not to speak. When cicadas drum the fields and we break the rind, this fall with a rock in the headlines, do you talk military strategy, joke about Arab terrorists, hang a flag from your front porch? Or do you join the protests, sign the petitions, ready to flee if ever the draft comes round again, no longer Canada, but South? When we break the rind and eat the fruit in chunks, down my block, the neighbors grow organic vegetables, refuse their taxes, and I haunt the streets, brother of my homesickness. When we eat the fruit and chunks and juice streaks our shirts, will you be called in, sent to the naval base in San Diego, where the ocean is warm, than Saudi Arabia? I wait, haven't read the news in a week. Bluff caves to beach, ocean is never this quiet. When juice streaks our shirts, do we leave having tasted hope? Written 1992 and 2007, about the first Gulf War, 1991. Interlude 4, Reach. With whom do we break the bone open? And once broken, what does the telling take? How do we shift those stories across language, culture, community? And once translated, who listens and how? Years ago, I studied the work of Russian poet Anna Akhmatova. She wrote political poems through Stalin's long reign and lived for several decades under house arrest. I don't know a single word of Russian, and so reading her in translation was a gift, a door unlocked. One day in the library, I went looking for as many different versions of her poem Requiem as I could find. I pulled them off the shelves, sat down at a big wooden table, and laid them out side by side. I studied late, examining line breaks, slant rhyme meter, searching for the one exact translation to offer me their original unmediated poem. I didn't succeed. How could any single translation catch all the layers, depth of word, reach of metaphor, rocking of sound and rhythm? Without knowing Russian, all I had were 4 or 5 overlapping poems, each anchored in some way to the original, each bridging a distance, each a door unlocked, but not held wide. Our telling reaches across chasms of power and privilege, struggles with willful unknowing, stands on fault lines between people most similar, insists upon wholeness. This is the work of translation. All too often, it's exhausting as we repeat our most familiar stories only to have them heard as freakish, exotic, inspirational. Or it's simply frustrating and slow, however necessary. But sometimes it's revelatory, the tug of a kite, sun and wind reaching through. Written 2005 to 2007. This ends part 5, continued in part 6.